This week in Philadelphia, time didn't run backwards, but the Mummers Parade did, as the route was reversed on South Broad Street. And we're here with Holly Otterbein, a reporter who covered the parade for WHYY and Newsworks, and with Marilyn D'Angelo, a producer for Newsworks, who is a South Philly native, to talk about how things went over in that neighborhood. Holly, you were out there. How were the crowds? What was the feeling?
Well, I think to an outsider, this might sound strange, but it was very controversial that the literal direction of the parade route changed. Many people were upset about it. I talked to a woman named Colleen Tracy. She's from Delaware County. She has went to the parade for many, many years, and she said that it just wasn't right that they changed the route, that it took out about a mile and a half stretch of South Philadelphia out of the parade route.
They should have kept with tradition and kept it going through South Philly like it used to be. It's the home of the Mummers. It's where they practice. It's what they do. It's where they should have kept it the same. But we'll see at the end of the day if it worked for them.
So, Holly, what happened was the route got shorter and it also goes in a different direction. Rather than starting in South Philadelphia and marching north, it started around City Hall and marched south. Why was this change made?
The Mummers and city officials agreed that it would make for a more lively, more fun parade if it was more compact. They said that that stretch of South Philadelphia that was cut out of the parade, it never had that many crowds anyway. Here's the director of the parade, Parks and Rec Deputy Commissioner Leo Dignam, explaining the change.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you ever marched in South Philly from Oregon Avenue, except for Broad and Chunk, there were no crowds on Broad Street. And, you know, a lot of the Mummers do live in South Philly, but not as many as there used to be.
I'm sitting across, as I mentioned, from Newsworks web producer Marilyn D'Angelo, and she has the face of a skeptic as she listens to that soundbite. Can you talk a little bit about the connection, as you see it and as your neighbors see it, between the neighborhood of South Philadelphia and the Mummers Parade?
Well, for the past 100 years, the Mummers have started in South Philadelphia. So at Broad and Oregon and all the surrounding neighborhoods, there are hundreds, thousands of families that are the literal hosts to the beginning of the parade. And they're the ones who really look forward to and build up the day's excitement.
Right. Now, you went to Broad and Oregon, I guess it was, and saw some protesters early in the day.
I had heard through the grapevine that there would be brigades that would cross the barricade and come all the way to South Philadelphia just to show the support of the neighborhood. So I got there. There were a handful of protesters, maybe 30, 40 people just standing there with their signs and cars beeping to bring the parade back home. Within about an hour, the jesters, they came just as hoped and planned, and it really made for just a small, quiet win.
Thank you, Marilyn. Now, Holly, you hung out mostly around City Hall and the Avenue of the Arts part of South Broad. Were the crowds good? Were they lively?
They were very lively. It was an extremely compact, tight space. And I did hear from some people who were glad for the change. They said that it was just a tighter performance. It was faster. It was more exciting. I do have to say, even the crowds around City Hall were mostly upset about the change. They said that it destroyed tradition as we know it. It was less sunny there than in South Philly, where it used to begin. I mean, any complaint that you can think of, people had.
So it's not always sunny in Philadelphia, or at least in Center City. That was Holly Otterbein and Marilyn D'Angelo talking about the Mummers Parade on Thursday. Now joining us on Roundtable is Kevin McCrory, senior education reporter. And Kevin, school's out, but that doesn't mean there hasn't been a lot of action and movement, particularly on the charter school front, with closures and possible openings. What's happening, Kevin?
Well, Chris, December saw two of the Philadelphia School District's lower performing charter schools close. Walter Palmer Charter, which began the year with two campuses serving over 1,200 students, officially shuttered on New Year's Eve. And Waukesha Charter, which had only 250 students at the end, closed in the middle of the month. The district says fiscal mismanagement brought both to an end. In Palmer's case, the coup de grace was a Supreme Court ruling last spring that said the school couldn't enroll more students than it had agreed to in a contract signed in 2005. So when you have 1,200 students and the district within its legal right is only paying you for $675, money problems come fast.
And they did, which caught a lot of Palmer parents off guard.
That's right. And as we speak, there's hundreds of parents across the city searching for a new school in the middle of the year, which is causing chaos in families and will also cause difficulties in the classrooms that will ultimately accept these kids, right? As any teacher knows, there's a big adjustment that must take place for all involved when a student comes into class mid-year. Charter schools know this, and most don't allow that disruption to occur by not accepting students in mid-year. So that means most of the kids from both of these two charter schools will end up in district neighborhood schools, whose mission it is, of course, is to serve all Philadelphia students. Now, critics of the so-called portfolio model of education, where schools are thought of like Wall Street stocks, say this scenario is a major flaw of that system. When you invest in winners and let the so-called losers fail in education, that will mean constantly displacing students. Maybe in the long run, this will end up with kids being in better schools, but there's a whole lot of pain in the meantime.
Right, Kevin. Well, the churn, particularly in Philadelphia, around charter schools can be hard to keep track of because some are closing, but then a lot want to open.
That's right. And this year, the district is hearing applications for new charter schools for the first time since 2007. 40 charter hopefuls have submitted applications. There was a first round of hearings in early December, and the next round starts up on Monday.
And we'll be tracking how those applications and the process plays out.
Absolutely.
That's Kevin McCrory, education writer for WHYY and NewsWorks. I'm Chris Citullo.